And everybody said, Amen. That was good. Good job, Virginia, and a great song, isn't it? I love that song because it talks about there is strength, there's power, and there's hope in the name of the Lord. And we know the Word of God says that there's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. So, such a great thing. Isn't it wonderful that when we are weak, the Word of God says He is strong. And when we are weak, we need to think about Isaiah 26, verse 4, the latter part of that verse says, "And in the Lord Jehovah, there is everlasting strength." And that's what we need in it, strength and power. It all comes from Almighty God. It comes from the Most High God in the Sunday school lesson. And Daniel, I love Daniel because that expression is used quite often in the book of Daniel. Most High God. And it's, He is the sovereign God, the creator, the redeemer, the sustainer of all things. My, we have a wonderful God, don't we? Say happy Father's Day to you. Good to see the fathers with us today. And then I think we have a visitor way back there in the back seat. She must be, are you a Baptist or something? She wasn't a Baptist at one time. Oh, you're just sitting back there because Teresa's back there. If Teresa had been on the front seat, you'd have been on the front seat. All right. Well, we're glad to have Patricia with us today. I hope I get the last name right. Because, see, I don't want to call her Merritt. I think she's Patricia Merritt. But I want to call her Patricia Lilly. Because that's how I knew her for many years. From the Hilldale area, Mother used to sing. And play with, she sang with the quartet, sung tenor, and in meetings that I was in as a young preacher, they sang a lot, and we appreciated that, and their singing. And Patricia also taught with us when I was principal down Sandstone for a semester or a whole year? Just a semester, couldn't keep her very long. She was a great teacher. And some of you had opportunity to be with her, I guess, up at Lewisburg, some of you ladies. She was up there at Lewisburg at the meal, so I'm sure you enjoyed that very much. All right, so it's good to have Patricia. Anybody else? We have a visitor, Daniel. Daniel, tell us who you are.
Wayne Keaton.
Okay, he's a Keaton.
I live in Hinton.
You still live in Hinton?
Yeah.
All right. We used to have a lot of Keatons up here, but they've moved on to Beckley, most of them. It's good to have you with us. Appreciate it. Anybody else visiting? Way back there, I see somebody. Looks like Charles Saunders back there. Who are you waving? He's waving at me. Who you got back there with you? I can't see very good.
I have a good friend of mine, Steve Webber, from down on the Big Cold River. I'm sure you know where that is.
Oh, yes. Been down in that area a few times as well, preaching a little bit close there. All right, it's good to see you. Good to have you with us. Anybody else visiting with us right quickly? All right, we're glad to have all of you with us. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning. I'll look at Mark chapter 5, verse 21 through 24, and then verse 35 through 43. But before we do that, I wanted to just bow our heads and hearts in a moment of prayer. I'm not going to read that scripture. You can read it because I'm going to be preaching right out of those verses, so you'll be right there. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to once again be in your house. How good it is to be in God's house with God's people. My, what a blessing it is to fellowship one with another in Christ Jesus. Our Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for each one that is here this morning, and we pray that we all have open minds and open ears and open hearts that we may hear and believe and obey the precious, eternal, inerrant Word of God. Father, we just humbly ask that you'll be with us in a special way today, Father, and that you will anoint us to proclaim your wonderful and eternal Word. Speak to every heart, we pray. May those who do not know you, may they have see the need of receiving Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And those who are saved, Father, we pray that you'll help them to be encouraged and strengthened and built up in the most holy faith. Speak to our hearts now, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Before I get into Mark chapter 5 a little bit, I would like to just make mention of a survey that I read, which was very, very telling survey. We see that most men do not attend church at all. In this survey, they only found at one time 43%. That was way back in the early 90s, but now, of course, it's down to about 20% of the men attend church at all. And apparently, if a father and mother were faithful churchgoers, 33% of the children followed their example. But what happened if the father had little or no faith? This survey found that the father was semi-active and the mother was faithful, only 3% of their children were active in church and became members. If he never went while the mother was faithful, only 2% became regular churchgoers. And surveys found that if a father made a decision to receive Christ, the rest of the family followed his example 93% of the time. If a mother made a similar decision, the rest of the family embraced the faith 17% of the time. It is clear that fathers play a unique and special role in helping their children develop a living faith, especially their sons. No wonder, you see, the Word of God designates the father as a spiritual head of the family. And as fathers, we need to be faithful to the Lord so that those children will follow in our footsteps. All right, just want to make mention of that to show you the importance of fathers in God's plan. And of course, in the family, very, very important. Of course, mothers are very important as well. We're not downgrading them, but the father has quite a spiritual impact on the family. And I found out in my ministry down through the years that women were more faithful than men. I've been in churches where they had a lot of women, but no men at all, hardly. And you find that a lot. Brother Butch finds, we find that out a lot when you're preaching outside the church. You see a lot of women and some of the men key roles because there's no men, so they have to assume some of the roles that because of that. All right, so we want to talk a little bit this morning from the book of Mark chapter 5, and we see in verse number 20, we see the Lord Jesus Christ is departing from Decapolis, and it tells us about great things Jesus had done for them, and all men did marvel, it says. But then we see that he leaves that area, and of course he comes to his own home, which is in Capernaum. So Warren Wisby said this. He said, one crowd kind of sighed with relief as they saw Jesus leave, but another crowd was waiting to welcome him when he returned home to Capernaum. In that latter crowd stood two people who were especially anxious to see him. There was Jairus, a man with a dying daughter, 12 years old, in fact, an anomalous woman suffering from an incurable disease. Guess how long she had the disease? 12 years, same age as that child was old. So I'd like for us to look just for a moment today. We want to focus on Jairus and see the importance of a father's faith. When we think about Jairus, what motivates this man? The Word of God says this man was a ruler in the synagogue. What motivates him to come to Jesus for help? Of course, there are times in our life, isn't it, that we need help. We sang about this morning. If I ever needed you, Lord, I need you now. And that's our cry, isn't it? Many times throughout our lives, we make that cry, that plea unto the Lord because we have this tremendous need for the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's look for a moment and see what motivates him to come. Now, we know that the religious leaders, who, of course, who were opposed to Jesus, they would not approve of this man who was, of course, a ruler in the synagogue to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the things that Jesus had done and that Jesus had taught in the synagogue had roused the anger of the scribes and the Pharisees, and they want, of course, to take Jesus into custody and finally, of course, to crucify him. So You know, there was bound to be some of those people who opposed the Lord Jesus Christ who were friends of Jairus, but we see that his faith, folks, it's his faith. Two things, I think, really. His faith and his love. His love, his compassion for his daughter who is desperately sick and near unto death when he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. In this case, he would rather lose his friends and save his beloved daughter. That's what brings him to the Lord Jesus. And many times that brings lots of people to Jesus. There's folks who are unsaved when they find that they have a need and that nobody can help them. Nobody can supply that need. Just like, the woman with the issue of blood was in that case. She had 12 years and had disease and could find no help at all. She was absolutely helpless. And so sometimes we find ourselves in that place, and when we do, we turn to Jesus Christ. I don't know what motivated you. Think about it for just a moment. What motivated you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved by his grace and enjoy this life that we have, the eternal life, the very life of God in us? And so we see that he comes to the Lord Jesus. That's the main thing. You see, when you have a problem, when you have a difficulty, when you have something that you can't handle, bring it to Jesus. He wants you to bring it to him. Cast all of your burdens and cares upon Jesus because he cares for you. He wants you to come. We find that the Word of God teaches us that's why Jesus came into the world. Jesus came to seek, didn't he? And to save that which was lost. And so Jesus wants you to come to him. Now, we want to come to him in other times when when things are going well in our lives and we see the blessing of God. We also want to come to him and praise him, don't we, and thank him for all that he's done. It's wonderful how he takes care. I get excited when I think about how he takes care of the little things in life, things that some folks wouldn't pray about. If you would pray about him, he'd take care of them for you. You'd find out. I had two experiences with funerals this last week or so. Had three funerals, but had experience with two of them. Boy, the rain was coming down. In fact, when we left the funeral home there on Thursday, the rain was coming down. We got up. I thought, well, maybe it'll be better when we get up the road. We got up there at about the Wiggins Bridge, and boy, it was pouring rain. The rain was pouring down. And was going on up the road there, and I said, Lord, could you give us a little sunshine to get this, you know, grave, taking care of the graveside rites and so forth. And we were going up the road, and it was raining, pouring. We went across the Willowwood Bridge, and we started down the Willowwood Road to go down, of course, through the tunnel and up to the cemetery. And about the time we got on that Willowwood Road, I looked up, and there's a big blue sky. And time we got to the cemetery, boy, the sun was bearing down up there at the cemetery. So what I'm saying is, God doesn't, he's concerned about the big things in our lives. And of course, the greatest thing is salvation, and we need to be saved. That's the greatest need that we have in our life. But God's also concerned with the little things. And sometimes we don't even think to ask him to take care of those things for us. And we don't thank him and praise him enough, do we? And so we see that when Jairus comes to the Lord, he has a big problem. His daughter is about to die. So we see though the father's confident faith. Look at it in verse 22. We see that he's confident. Behold, pay attention. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And so we see the daughter's condition. She's at the very point of death. And we see her condition. We also see the father's request. You see, the Lord wants us to bring, he wants us to bring our request to him. In fact, the Word of God teaches us that Jesus Christ is, you know, he's alive and he's on the right hand of the Father, and he's there to do what? To make intercession for us. He wants us to bring these things to him because he can satisfy the need in our lives as individuals and as believers. And so he makes a request, actually a plea, doesn't he? I pray thee. Now, those I pray thee is not in the text originally, but we see they put it there for clarification because he's making a plea. He's asking God to help him. And the key thing is this, that this man, he believed that Jesus could make a difference in this hopeless situation. That's where we need to be as individuals. That when we get in this situation, that we know that Jesus can make a difference. And when we call upon him, what are we doing? We're asking God to come down. We're asking God to intervene in the situation. And we see that will make all the difference in the world. So we see his confident faith. And then we see in verses 35 and 36, we see the father's courageous faith. Because in verse number 35, we see that Jesus, of course, is taking care of the woman with the issue of blood. And then in verse 35, it says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? So the dreaded news comes. One of the worst things you ever have to do as a pastor is to be the bearer of news that someone has died and the person doesn't know about that you're going to talk about. And they've asked you to go. Sometimes the military will come knocking on your door and ask you to go with them to tell a person about a person's death. And several occasions you're asked to go for different various reasons. I was asked one time to go to a home because they couldn't get the person to understand that her husband had died. And so they said, you know, she hears you better than she hears us. And if you go there and tell her, then she'll know what's happened. So we went. But anyway, that's one of the worst things that can happen to you as a pastor, the bearer of the news that someone has died. But here they come with this message, thy daughter is dead. And so when that happens, what happens to you when you hear that? All of us have heard that, I'm sure, by now probably. If you're young, maybe you haven't heard it. But you can rest assured that you will hear it someday and that somebody will come to you and say that, you know, your father or your mother or a brother or sister, someone in the family has died. And they'll take, and the feeling is, you've all had this feeling somewhere, probably. It's a kind of a feeling that just your stomach has dropped. Seems like all the strength that you have ebbs out of you at that particular point of time. And there you are in that situation. And so when that happens, it's easy, folks. It's very easy to give way to doubts and unbelief when circumstances and, of course, feelings have overwhelmed us. All of us, you know, older folks, we have felt that. We have felt the feeling that we're just overwhelmed with the situation that we're in. That's where he's at. I hope that you can feel this. I hope that you can see this and grip this like this man. And then you'll see that this man has a courageous faith in the Lord Jesus. But, you know, Jesus has the answer. So what happens when this man gets this message that his daughter is dead? Notice what Jesus immediately does. He gives him his words of faith. As soon, at verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. How many times is that in the Bible? Be not afraid, only believe. Quite a few times in the Word of God. That's words of faith. Just continue. In spite of all the circumstances, in spite of everything that's happened, just believe in God. Take God at His Word. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, because He'll never fail. Jesus will never fail you. And sometimes you won't understand it. Sometimes you'll think that he has failed, but he hasn't. It's because It's because of how you feel about the situation. He will never fail. Be not afraid, he says. Only believe. Kind of reminds me of over in the book of Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. When a father, another father, he brought a son to the disciples. He was, of course, looking for Jesus, but he comes to the disciples first. He brings a son with a dumb spirit, and this son was demon-possessed. And, of course, the disciples could do nothing for this man. Oh, in the book of in Mark chapter 9 and verse number 23, after Jesus comes off the mountain, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, can you today believe? If you can believe, you can be saved by the grace of God. No matter what other folks say, the Word of God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Isn't that wonderful? That we can just be saved by believing and trusting in the finished work of Calvary. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Hallelujah. That's hallelujah ground, isn't it? If you can only believe, all things are possible to him that believes. You see, it takes courageous faith to believe God's word when things are going terribly wrong and when there's a death in the family. But then we see lastly in verses 38 through 42, we see the Father's conquering faith. Remember when Abram goes out there to battle in the Sunday school lesson? And God gives him the victory. The Most High God of heaven gives him the victory there. And if you remember what Keith said, when God gives you the victory, it's what? It's always a complete. He always does it right. He always does it perfectly. Perfectly, we might say. And so it is with this man. We see his conquering faith. Now, when Jesus comes to the house in verse number 38, and he's bringing with him just a few, he's bringing with him the inner circle. Peter, James, and John are coming with him. And verse 28, when he comes to the house, what does he see? He seeth a tumult. That's a pretty strong word, tumult. And what he heard was this weeping and wailing because of the death of this child. But notice in that situation where they were weeping and wailing greatly, this we see verse 39. Everything changes when Jesus comes in to the house, doesn't it? And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make you all this ado and weeping? Why is all this going on? Why are you making this tumult in the house? And he said, the damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. That's exactly how the Word of God pictures a believer's death. He's sleeping. Now, that's the body. It's not the soul and the spirit. The soul and the spirit, we know, immediately goes to be with God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we know the soul and spirit goes back to God. Ecclesiastes, that some of the young people studied in chapter 12, talks about the soul and the spirit returning to God, the Maker. And so we see that she is dead. The soul and the spirit have left the body. And so here is a body, and the body sleeps. And when a believer dies, the body sleeps, and the soul and spirit, of course, go to be with the Lord. And then when the Lord returns, the soul and the spirit and the body will all be combined into a new immortal body, like unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, when we go up to meet him in the air in the rapture of the church. So he says, why make you, this damsel's not dead, but she sleepeth. And what happens when he says that? Well, first, you notice that they sneered, and now they're laughing. You see, real faith overcomes the laughs and the sneers of the worldly crowd, folks. We see that in this particular passage. And notice verse 40 says, and they laughed him to scorn. And so what does he do? With all that unbelief surrounding the Lord Jesus, He puts them out. Faith works better where there's no unbelief. And so Jesus dismissed them from the place so that he'd be there with the inner circle. People who believe God. People who trusted God. People who had experienced. Who had experienced, you see. They had experienced that strength. They had experienced that power. They had experienced the hope that God gave. And I hope that you're experiencing that today as well. Because God gives you hope when there is no hope in this world system. And so they laughed him. They laughed him to scorn. He put them all out and taketh the father and mother, the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And what happened? And straightway. I love the word straightway that Mark uses. Straightway, immediately. Now, in the flesh, we like things to happen immediately, don't we? And we don't have much patience. And God has to work on us, and he works on us to give us patience. But I like that word immediately. And immediately, right immediately, the moment that he speaks these words. And so we see the power in the Word of God. Power to do all kinds of things. Power to save. Power to encourage. Power to strengthen. Power to do anything that we need. If you need to be saved, being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible seed, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. My, the eternal Word of God, when it's spoken, has power. And when Jesus speaks those words straightway, she arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished, and there was great amazement. You see, conquering faith enables one to stare into the face of death and have assurance. And have assurance in the life that Jesus Christ gives to the individual. Verse 41 and verse 42 speaks about that. And then we see in John chapter 11. John chapter 11, when Jesus is coming to the grave, you remember, of Lazarus in that passage. What does Jesus say? Oh, in the face of death, we can listen and hear and believe the words of Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you really believe that? That's what you must believe to be saved and to have assurance of eternal life. So faith, you see, conquering faith enables us to know that even though death may be on the horizon, that we have life, that we have the eternal life of Almighty God. And never forget, folks, never forget that we as believers are more than conquerors through faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 37, we see these words. Nay, he says, in all these things, and he's talked about quite a few things, hadn't he? Even though we're counted as sheep for the slaughter, and of course there's tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. He's talked about a lot of things here. He says, nay, in all these things, we are more. I like that. We're not just conquerors, folks. We are more. We are, in Jesus Christ, we are stronger than the enemy. Doesn't the Word of God tell us that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, Satan? So we are conquerors through Jesus Christ, and we should never forget that. He says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Folks, it's all in Jesus Christ. If you haven't received him, you need to receive him as your personal Savior. And if you have received him, you need to keep on trusting, keep on growing, keep on maturing until he calls you home. That's clear. So if you're here today without Jesus Christ, may we urge you to come and receive him as your personal Savior. We show you from the Word of God how to be saved and to know that you're saved for time and for eternity. And if you're here as a believer, God spoke in your heart, you need to come. You come. We're going to sing just a couple of verses of an invitational hymn. Brother Farron, you come and lead us. And as we sing, as the Holy Spirit would speak to your heart and draw you, we would urge you to come as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart this morning.
Number 440.
Number 440. 440 in the hymnal.